This reading is by Chet Ramo, titled, it's from a book titled Honey from Stone, A Naturalist's Search for God. Every accumulation of knowledge is full of rabbit holes. Enter a rabbit hole, quantum physics say, and that hole has its own rabbit holes leading to yet other exotic terrains. One doesn't have to be a Lord Kelvin or an Einstein to find a place to enter. A leaf of grass will provide ingress to infinity. The ancients believed that the stars were pinholes in the dome of the sky through which shone the light of an outer, more powerful world. And it is true. Every star is a rabbit hole into another world. In the course of a lifetime of starry night, I could not explore them all. I lie on my back, and the light of 10,000 stars enters my eyes. 10,000 subtle but distinct wavelets of energy enter my eyes at slightly different angles from out of the depths of space. And by some miracle, my eyes and brain sort it all out, put each star in its proper place, recognize the familiar patterns of the constellations, and open my soul to a universe whose length and breadth exceeds my wildest imagining. Starlight falls upon me like gentle rain. It blows across me like a furious wind. I am soaked and shaken. I have a friend who speaks of knowledge as an island in a sea of mystery. Let this, then, be the ground of my faith. All that we know, now and forever, all scientific knowledge that we have in this world or ever will have, is an island in a sea, and still the mystery surrounds us. Our second reading is a poem from the sermon Wonderfully Dark by Victoria Safford. There are things we know and things we don't and things we can't and things we can still learn. How much love is possible? How many stars in the December sky? As the darkness deepens now, may we not be afraid, nor be too quick to light our candles and our lights. Companioned in the weeks ahead by old stories and old music and by the distant light of ancient suns, which the first tellers of those stories saw with all too human eyes. In the crowded clutter and the clamor of these busy days, these sad and anxious days, may we make room for mystery and wonder, room for grief and fear and gratitude and courage, room for beauty, room for holy curiosity burning like a star, and room as well for the quiet and resilient hope that waits in the soil of the soul. As the great wheel turns and the darkness deepens all around, may we be reminded of that greatest mystery, that the greatest mystery is that we're here at all, here and now, and undeniably together. Our greatest work, and all that we know for sure, is love. Please rise in body or spirit and join in our next hymn, number 224, Let Christmas Come.
Thank you.
When I was a child, most years, we would go to see Santa at the big department store in downtown Detroit. Now, sure, all the malls had Santas, but everyone in Detroit knew the truth. There was only one real Santa, and he was at Hudson's department store. When you got to Hudson's, you would take an elevator to the 12th floor, and that was the toys department. And then first, as I remember, you would go through a magical wintry room filled with Christmas trees decorated in different ways. And then you would go and stand in a long line that went down a hallway. At least this is my memory of the event. Now, this hallway was magical and mysterious because while you clearly started the hallway in downtown Detroit, as you went down it, you traveled mysteriously to what was clearly the North Pole. There would be giant candy canes, elves, reindeer, workshop areas where toys were created, and sugar plums galore. Now, I think this hallway must have had similar properties to the wardrobe that Lucy Pevensie traveled through in her trip to Narnia in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. But alas, Hudson's is no more. And with it went the only known portal to take children straight to the North Pole. That is, unless you happen to know of a magical Santa portal here that I have not yet been told about. It might be that when the portal in Detroit closed, one in Boston opened, and I'm willing to believe that's possible. With Santa, anything's possible. But even without the magical hallway to the North Pole, there's a lot of mystery and wonder in this season when you're a child. Beyond Santa and reindeer, there's the mystery of gifts, the anticipation of what's to come. The Christmas story itself, so full of mystery with its angels and star and magi, is new to you when you're little. Similarly, for children in the Jewish faith, the story of Hanukkah with its oil lasting mysteriously 8 days so that the temple can be rededicated is new and full of wonder of wonder. Even the mystery of the solstice, an event as old as time, is new to us when we are little. No matter the celebration or the beliefs or the culture, there is a time when we get to experience it with fresh eyes, with eyes that are willing and ready to see and behold wonder and awe, ready to be wowed, open to magic and possibility. These are the days of miracle and wonder. And then we grow up, sometimes a little at a time. I remember my daughter asking me if Santa was real. This must have been when she was around, I don't know, third or fourth grade. And she asked me, "Is Santa real, Mom?" And I said, "Do you want me to tell you if I know that he isn't?" And she thought about it, and she said, "No." Certain, emphatic, "No, I don't want to know." "He's real then," I said. Slowly but surely, we grow up, and magic becomes harder to find. There's this point in the Narnia books when we're told that Susan Pevensie, the older sister, hasn't come back to Narnia in the last battle with the others. She has grown up. She has become interested in, quote, nylons and lipstick and invitations, and she is no longer a friend of Narnia. And other than Peter Pan, we all grow up and in some way become Susans, closed off to the mystery and wonder we experienced as children. So how do we access that mystery and wonder in adulthood? One way, I think, is by becoming Santas, by embodying the magic. Now, my colleague Joanna Fontaine Crawford has a blog titled Lizard Eater, where she proudly states that she is a level 4 Santa. Did you know that there are levels of Santa? Right. Well, let me tell you, Joanna has this all covered in her blog, and I refer you to it because I wouldn't have known about this without her. But I'll put it in my own words here. Just to be clear, though, I wouldn't have known about it without her. First, there's level 1 Santa. When you are a child and when you're getting gifts from the Santa, you know, the one at Hudson's, You're a level one Santa yourself. You're participating in Santahood, in the miracle and wonder that is Santa, but only on the receiving end of Santadom. Level two is when you're old enough that adults tell you more about the secrets of Santa. It's what my daughter wasn't ready for those years ago. At level two, you learn that there is much more to the wonder and magic than you had ever imagined, and that you have a role to play in Santa's work. Some people never make it to level two and instead walk away saying that there is no Santa, and my daughter was telling me she wasn't ready for level two at that young age. Now, level three is when you have a child in your life that you get to be part of being Santa for in all the ways that you learned about back in level two. And level four Santa, which you can get to by skipping over three sometimes, is where you become part of Santa by helping make Christmas happen for you, people you don't know or anonymously. So all of those of you who brought gifts for the people in the domestic violence shelters, you are level four Santas. A couple of years ago, Peter and I had two foster children that we got to enjoy making Christmas for. They were age 2 and 6 at the time, and that was level three Santa stuff. Last year, when they went back to their mother, and we continued to help make Christmas happen, but we weren't there with them on Christmas morning because we were no longer their parents, then we became level four Santas to them. We're going to be level four Santas with them again this year. Now, level five, which is the top level, is something very, 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 very few people ever achieve. At most, one in a generation. Because that's when you get the reins to the sleigh and you get to live at the North Pole. And you deliver toys all over the world. Most of us, probably all of us, will never make it to level five. I'm not exactly clear on what this succession plan is, so I don't want to rule it out for you. Don't get your hopes up. It might be that Santa is eternal, or that Santa title is handed down from father to son. My theory is that Santa is a Time Lord like Doctor Who, or like the Doctor in Doctor Who. And if that's the case, the good news is that Santa might just turn out to be a woman sometime in the future. So I'm going with the time-traveling alien theory of Santa personally and not betting on achieving level five myself. So level four is the highest most of us will achieve, and it's one of the best ways I know to bring mystery and wonder and awe into your life. Level three Santa is about mystery and wonder, but a bit vicariously. You're re-experiencing your own level one mystery and wonder by recreating it for the next generation. But by level four, you're experiencing mystery and wonder differently again. You're experiencing it at a level that's connected to the ultimate and the infinite, and seeing how the magic and mystery of Christmas goes way beyond yourself. You're connected in a small way to what level five Santa experiences of being able to see the whole grand picture of Christmas all over the world all at once. You see what was only hinted at in level two, that this is bigger and deeper and more awesome than you ever imagined. So if you haven't figured it out already, when I'm talking about Santa, I'm also talking about something else, right? I'm talking about the mystery and awe of our place in the universe. I'm talking about the awe and mystery that is God for those of you who believe in God. The thing with the mystery of the universe or the mystery of God is that the more we know, the more we know that we don't know. Or we know that we can never know everything. As Chet Ramos said in our reading, all that we know, now and forever, all scientific knowledge that we have in this world or will ever have is an island in the sea, and still the mystery surrounds us. Or as Paul Simon put it, these are the days of miracle and wonder. For example, on Friday, I was in Boston. A friend from seminary was taking his next steps on his 20-year journey to become a UU minister and seeing the Ministerial Fellowship Committee that credentials UU ministers. So we were in a cab from his hotel to the UU Association, and we were going through one of Boston's many tunnels. And I turned to Eric and said, "Hey, you know what? I still have 3 bars on my cell phone down here." And then I said, "When I think about these tunnels, they really amaze me. They're a marvel of engineering." And Eric's response was, "Yes, terraforming Mars is completely achievable. I had to agree. I know it's leaps and bounds from creating a tunnel under the Boston Main Channel to terraforming Mars, but the human spirit makes me think that these marvels are totally achievable. And that's miraculous. And it's wonderful. I mean, over 100 years ago, we got the Chicago River to flow backwards. The first tunnel ever created underwater was in 1855. We didn't have computers to calculate or GPS to navigate us, and we dug a tunnel under the water. How amazing and powerful and mysterious the power of humanity is. If we can do these things, we can solve hunger. We can end war. It's achievable. And thinking about that power is amazing and miraculous and mysterious and wonderful. And as much as those staccato signals of constant information are amazing, how much more amazing is it what we don't know? Our knowledge is an island in the vast sea of the ocean of mystery and wonder. As Victoria Safford writes, how much is possible? How much love is possible? How many stars in the December sky? This grand universe, this sublime design, it's an amazing, miraculous thing. It's a level 5 mystery, level 5 wonder. How we are all connected and precious and insignificant and tiny. How miraculous we are, and how vast and enormous and yet intimate and loving the universe is. I close with Victoria Safford's words again. As the great wheel turns and darkness deepens all around, may we be reminded that the greatest mystery is that we're here at all, here and now, and undeniably together. Our greatest work and all that we know for sure is love.